Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ajanta Pharma Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal, Managing Director of Ajanta Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to all of you. With me, I have Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Arvind Agrawal, CFO, and Mr. Rajeev Agrawal, our AVP Finance and Investor Relations. I hope that the results are already there with you. We continued our growth in branded generic business, which is our mainstay, and also outperformed the market going ahead. However, the year saw severe pressure on the margins, with EBITDA going down sharply from 28% last year to 21% this year. This was due to the factors beyond our control, like increase in material prices, US price erosion, increase in freight costs, etc. We have taken effective steps to contain this impact and are confident of regaining some of the lost margins in coming years. In spite of pressure on margins, our cash flow generation was quite robust, and hence once again, we have rewarded shareholders with a payout of rupees 479 crores, being 81% of the PAT in form of dividend and buyback during the quarter. It reaffirms our commitment to pay back any excess cash to the shareholders of the company. I and our joint MD will take you through business-wise performance for Q4 and 12 months FY 2023, along with comparison of previous year same period. It was overall a good year, with total revenue for 2023 at rupees 3,743 crores, against 3,341 crores, posting growth of 12%. As you are aware, our business is divided in three verticals: branded generic business, consisting of India and emerging markets; US generic business; and institution business in Africa. Let us start with branded generic business. During the 12-month period, 73% of the total sales came from the branded generic, which is spread across India, Asia, and Africa. This business has surety, scalability, and sustainability for the long term. During Q4, branded generic sales was rupees 625 crores against rupees 644 crores, posting 3% degrowth. In 12 months, sale was rupees 2,690 crores against 2,382 crores, posting growth of 13%. This growth was in line with our expectations and guidances. To begin with, I invite Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, Joint MD, to take you through India business. Thank you, and over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you. Let me discuss some of the key highlights of India business with you now. Our performance has been excellent on the back of new product launches, market share gain, and price increase. India business contributed 32% in the total revenue during 12-month period. In Q2, sales stood at 287 crores against 245 crores, posting a growth of 17%. For 12 months, sales stood at 1,174 crores against 982 crores, posting a healthy growth of 20%. India business includes revenue from trade generic of rupees 42 crores against rupees 30 crores in Q4 and rupees 151 crores against rupees 117 crores in 12 months of FY 2023. During the year, we launched 23 new products, out of which 6 were first to market. Our MR productivity has gone up by 20% against previous year on the back of consistent growth in business without any increase in MR strength. I am delighted to mention that our overall growth was 2 times to the IPM as per IQVIA MAT March 2023, with Ajanta's growth of 16% versus IPM growth of 8%. Even in all therapeutic segments we are present in, our growth was much higher than the segment growth. In the covered market, we are fourth largest in IPM. In overall IPM, we gained 2 ranks in the last 12 months and stood at 27th as of the end of the year. It will be heartening to note that in all our therapeutic segments, our ranking in covered market is amongst the top 10, with second rank in ophthalmology. As per IQVIA MAC March 2023, cardiology contributed 40%, ophthalmology contributed 31%, dermatology contributed 21% of our business, and the remaining 8% is coming from pain. 4 of our brands are appearing in the top 500 list of IPM. Now, Mr. Yogesh Agrawal, MD, will take you through the other business performance. Thank you and back to you.
Thank you. Let me now discuss some of the key highlights of the branded generic business in Asia and Africa, which contributed 41% in the total revenue during previous year. In Asia, let's start with Asia. In Asia, our business is spread over Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Central Asia, covering about 10 countries. During Q4, sale was rupees 238 crores against 263 crores, degrowth of 9%. Q4 2022 was elevated against the rest of the quarters as major countries saw increased demand after the pandemic. In 12 months, sale was rupees 957 crores against rupees 813 crores, posting healthy growth of 18%. We launched 38 new products during the 12-month FY 2023 in the region. We continue to see mid-teens growth on the back of our robust product pipeline, increased productivity, and excellent strategy execution across countries. Let's now move to Africa. In Africa, business is spread over West Asia and West and East African countries in 20 countries. During Q4, sale was rupees 100 crores against rupees 136 crores, posting 26% degrowth. The growth was adversely impacted due to the strike in France for pension reform, which led to considerable delays in the supply chain. The situation is slowly improving and we are trying our best to keep up the supply chain going. In FY 2023, sale was rupees 559 crores against 587 crores, posting 5% degrowth. The full year degrowth can be attributed to INR depreciation against rupee from previous year by 5%. However, we have seen reversal of this trend and we hope to see mid to high teen growth in this market again going forward. We launched 8 new products during FY 2023 in the region. Let's move to US generics. This is the second vertical of business and contributed 22% to the total revenue. In Q4, sale was rupees 197 crore against rupees 168 crore, posting 17% growth. In FY 2023, sale was rupees 828 crore against rupees 696 crore, posting 19% growth. We see price erosion stabilizing and it has come down to high single digit in our existing portfolio. At the end of 2023, we filed 5 ANDAs and also received 4 final and 1 tentative approval. We have 21 ANDAs awaiting approval with US FDA. Africa Institution, this is third vertical of business comprising of anti-malarial products and contributed 5% in total revenue. In Q4, sale was rupees 49 crore against rupees 50 crore, posting 1% degrowth. In 12 months, sale was rupees 190 crore against rupees 106 crore, posting 8% degrowth. As mentioned earlier, institution business remains unpredictable and depends on the funds with the procurement agencies. With this, I will now hand over to Mr. Arvind Agrawal, CFO, to take you through the financial performance. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you and warm welcome to this earning call. For ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials and provide year-on-year comparison. Let me take you through key financial highlights for Q4 and 12 months of financial year 2023. In Q4, total revenue stood at rupees 882 crores against rupees 870 crores, posting 1% growth. In 12 months, total revenue stood at 3,743 crores against rupees 3,341 crores, posting growth of 12%. Gross margin was at 73% for Q4 and 72% for the entire financial year. US price erosion, higher material cost, one-time inventory write-off, and INR appreciation against Euro for major part of the year adversely impacted it by about 3% in FY23. As the Euro-INR exchange rate is back to earlier levels and US price erosion getting normalized, gross margin is expected to rebound to 74-75% in FY2024. Personnel cost has seen increase of 35% in Q4 and 22% in the financial year. The increase during Q4 was on account of some regrouping of related expenses from selling expenses following the best practices. For 12 months, the increase in cost mainly relates to expansion in international field force. By 50% and small addition in production and R&D. All these are the investment for future growth. Other expenses stood at rupees 268 crores in Q4 and 1124 crores in FY23. This includes forex derivative loss in Q4 of rupees 22 crores and rupees 19 crores during the whole year. However, we closed the year with a net forex gain, which is included in other income. Logistic cost has impacted about 2% on EBITDA in the financial year 2023. However, it has come back to normal level now, and it should really give us a big benefit in the coming financial year. R&D expenses was rupees 63 crores against 59 crores for the quarter, and it was 237 crores against 204 crores for the whole year, an increase of 16% over previous year. R&D expenses continue to be at 6% of revenue. With the above impact on gross margin and other expenses, EBITDA margin saw a dip during Q4 and stood at 17% of revenue from operations at rupees 149 crores. For 12 months, EBITDA was at rupees 783 crores or 21% of revenue from operations. Going forward, the benefit of 2% each from gross margin and logistic cost is expected to take EBITDA back to about 25% in FY2024. Other income was at rupees 99 crores for the year, mainly contributed by forex gain of rupees 66 crores without adjusting the unrealized hedge loss of 19 crores. There was a net gain in forex transaction of rupees 47 crores for the whole year after adjusting unrealized loss. This reaffirms our prudent and robust hedge policy. Income tax stood at 20% for quarter 4 and 21% for the whole year. We expect it to remain at around the same level in FY24. PAT in Q4 was at rupees 122 crores against 151 crores, 14% of revenue, and for the whole year it was 588 crores, which is against 713 crores last year, which is 16% of revenue. We incurred capex of rupees 160 crores for the year 2023. Capex, including maintenance capex for 2024, is expected to be around 200 crores, which also includes our new corporate house capex. We have seen improvement in working capital cycle with both inventory and receivables showing reduction in number of days. The ROCE stood at 22% and ROE at 18%. With improvement in working capital cycle, our cash conversion ratio was almost at 99%. With these highlights, I open the floor for the question answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first on this employee cost, if you could elaborate this regrouping of related expenses.
So, the cost of incentives which are being given to the field staff, that was about 27 crores for the whole year. That has already been, now it was earlier in selling expenses, but it has been regrouped to the personal cost. So that is the small change which is there.
Okay. And henceforth it will be in the employee expenses only.
Pardon me?
And henceforth it would be in employee expenses only.
Yes, you are right.
So now that we have reached, we are at 73% gross margin, maybe another 100 bits we are guiding for next year, but just trying to bridge the gap of EBITDA margin of 17% in 4QFY23 to almost 24-25 for FY24. If you could just explain that.
See, as far as Q4 is concerned, again, you are talking about whole year or money? 17% is asking. So 17% is Q4, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I think 17% includes 22 crores of the forest loss also. So, if you remove that, it will come to 20%.
Still 500 bits is also. So, still from 20% to 25% is the bridge.
As I explained, the whole year if you talk, then 22% is freight cost, which we are expecting to recoup, and 2% in the COG. So 2 plus 2, 4% improvement we are expecting from 21 to go to 25.
Okay, and just lastly on this end, while FY23 it has been done in terms of filing as well as launches.
Yes.
But R&D cost has been sort of at the similar level as it was in the last year. So how should one think about, you know, the product filing and the growth for FY24 for US studies?
So the R&D cost should remain in absolutely on the absolute number on the similar range. So percentage wise it may decrease a little bit. And for the filings, we are looking to file around 6 to 8 ANDAs next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. One question again on the employee cost and the other expenses. While I can see that because of the regrouping, your other expenses has come down, but your staff cost has come up. Can you just explain that, you know, this 24 crores of forex loss is sitting in which line item and it is impacting the margin?
It is in the other expenses.
Okay. And, but there would be some forex, there is some forex gain also, right, which is sitting in above EBITDA or below EBITDA?
Below EBITDA in other income.
Okay, and how much is that?
That is me.
For the current quarter.
So it is 25 crores.
25 crores.
Yeah.
And now what we see is that the staff cost is around 24 to 25% of sales. So going ahead, when we estimate, it should be in this range only, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and does it include the expansion of the field force which has been taken into the international branded business, Asia and Africa?
Partially, because some of the additions were done during the year, so the full year's effect will come next year.
Okay, and how much that partial cost which is pending would come in FY24? Any ballpark number which you can give?
It will be difficult to give you that number, but I think as you rightly said, as a percentage of sales, it should remain in that same range.
24 to 25%.
Yes, because we have given the guidance of about increase of the sales being in machines. So I think 25% should be okay.
So from 21% to 25%, where we are expecting our EBITDA margin to move, it will majorly come from the gross margin improvement of 2% and logistic cost stabilizing. Am I correct?
Yes, you are absolutely right.
Okay. Another question is on Africa branded business. I understand that the quarter four, we had seen some sort of strike in Franco Africa, which you mentioned, right, for pension reform, and that delayed the sales. So this delayed sales, is it expected to come in quarter one? Should we see that, quarter one will have the deferred sales as well as the sales which expected to come in quarter one, so it would be a very strong growth, or it would be a, the sales which is lost completely. Also, in 9 months, we had, seen a very subdued growth in Africa branded business. Want to understand more on this piece of the business, because your supply chain and everything is also pretty strong. Also, what actual problem are we facing in terms of growth?
So two parts. One is some part of the business will get pushed out to the next quarter, but some loss is lost. It is difficult to recover. So we will see some part of getting spilled over into the next quarter. One is that, and second is on the growth. So I think if you see the last 3 years CAGR, we have posted a big team growth. There have been some pipeline filling at times because of the COVID, because of the opening of the COVID, some launches of the new products. So we've seen some strong growth in the previous year, which kind of tapered out in the next year. But overall, on a consistent basis, we are very confident this health of the business is quite strong. And we don't foresee challenge in posting mid-teens to high-teens growth in the Africa.
And how is your Africa pharma industry growing on in the respective markets where you are present? The industry?
The industry also is growing in a low double digits.
Lower double digits. So are we confident that, we should see a low double digit growth once the sales get normalized in FY24 and 25?
Absolutely. We should outgrow the market at least 1.5 times. So if the market is growing at 14, we are confident of posting mid-teens to high-teens growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Yes.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, just to understand this 25% bridge again, if I do 2% COGS and 2% logistic cost saving and 25 crore of Forex gain, then also even if I do this math for this quarter, we get 23.7% kind of a margin. So if you can help us this 25% margin bridge, it would be great. And secondly, I just missed that employee cost increase. What is the reclassification we did there?
Okay. So first I will take the second question. The reclassification is just that there are certain expenses which were related to employees, which were clubbed under marketing expenses or selling expenses, that has been brought to the employee expenses. So it's just a reclassification from other expenses to employee cost. But if you take put together, it will remain the same. There is no difference at all.
Okay.
In terms of the EBITDA reconciliation, what you need to do is you need to work out for the whole year. If you see FY23, we are having a EBITDA margin of 21%.
Correct.
Now this 21%, as we mentioned earlier also, that there were these factors which impacted, including the US price erosion, including the price, raw material price increase, and all those kind of things. But out of that, we will be able to recover in COG about 2%, including the Euro INR appreciation. So that also is now normal, so that also should help us. So total we should be able to get 2% benefit in cost of goods. And another 2% is something which we will get in logistics.
Okay.
So, 21 plus 4 is about 25%. We will not be able to go to 28% immediately. We clearly told you even last quarter also. Here also we are saying that we are talking about 25% plus around in 2024 EBITDA margin.
Got that, sir. And second question, sir, like as you are targeting for overall a mid-teen kind of a growth, so what would be the growth we are expecting from the export business and primarily from the emerging and the regulated market?
The US will be in the low single digit, mid-single digit.
Okay.
And the overall branded generic business, we are looking to grow at a mid-teen plus minus kind of thing. So on a blended basis, we should arrive at around the mid-teen. Africa, institutional business, we are looking at a flattish growth.
Africa business, we are looking. So both institution and branded both? Overall Africa?
No. Branded generic is all put together, look at as one bucket, which has India, Africa, and Asia.
Okay.
All put together, we are looking to grow mid-teen. And
okay.
US will be the mid-single digit, let's say 5%. Okay. And institution, we are looking at a flattish growth.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Sir, in your presentation you mentioned that the price erosion in the US is now normal. So, I just want to understand, what do you mean by normal?
Normal is about, high single digit.
Right, and so maybe if you can just maybe explain what is driving it. Is it maybe some new launches? Because we haven't done a lot of new launches. So, I mean, have competitors withdrawn from a lot of molecules you were in? Have you had some benefits from a few products? Maybe you can just explain a bit more.
So, we are looking to launch 5 products during the year. And existing portfolio, as you said, that I think we are estimating that the price erosion should stabilize to the mid to high single digit. So in combination of the new product launches and stabilizing of the price erosion on the existing portfolio, we feel comfortable that we should be able to pose a similar kind of margins or maybe slightly improve it.
Sure, sir, but in your existing portfolio also, have you seen an improvement, and is it because competitors are withdrawn? Or it's just that people have become a lot more disciplined than what they were, let's say, maybe a month, year back or so?
Right, yeah. So, we've not seen significant withdrawals of the players. In product to product, there may be one player withdrawing here and there. But in a market which is 5 players around, one player withdrawing doesn't have a very significant increase in the market share to any one company. So, we've not seen such big disruptions in withdrawal. We've seen some products, some companies are withdrawn. But some of the base portfolio we've seen, I think now the price erosion has pretty much hit to the bottom, at least we feel so. So I think the price erosion should be more disciplined.
Got it. Second question is on the India business. Now, MPPA has come up with its own list of products where prices have to be reduced. I think that included Metexcel also, a franchise. So, has there been any impact in Q4 or do you expect it in the coming year?
No, in the Q4, there has been impact in the month of February and March. But it was quite low, insignificant. And now in April, because of the benefit of the CPI, we have been able to increase the prices by close to 11%. So there has been an offset to that extent. The original price reduction done by the NLEM was in the range of 18% for Metexcel, and we have been able to gain back around 11.3% due to the WPI. So the net impact on us and the industry is about the difference of it.
Sure. And just one last question for Arvindji. I still not able to understand your freight cost estimation. 3 years back, your freight cost would have been, let's say, 4-4.5% revenue. Last year, it was around 5.5%. And this time around, you said there's been a 200% increase. So it just seems that the impact on Ajanta seems a lot more magnified than for the rest of the industry. So just want to get your thoughts on this.
I mean, it is very simple. You see, as far as Ajanta is concerned, we are sending all our material in the refrigerated container. And
part of it.
Most part of it.
70% of the export.
Yes. And 70%, see, the proportion of our sales is skewed towards export. So naturally, freight plays a very important role in our expenses.
Got it. Okay, sir. So maybe I'll just discuss in a bit more detail with you offline. Okay. Thanks a lot for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sehi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. So, first, wanted to understand on 25% margin. So, I believe large part of the benefit related to freight, which we talked about, like 2 percentage points, as well as some part of cost related to key raw material prices, would have actually come down and benefited in fourth quarter as well. So, from the fourth quarter, going towards 25%, seems the bit of aggressive one, largely because we have seen some benefit this quarter, right?
Yeah, but I think you need to continuously see the whole year. You see, quarter to quarter, there can be variations because of many, you know, product mix, because of the business mix, etc. But overall, if you see the whole year, it is 21% EBITDA margin, which you can see. And with that 21%, we are very confident that we should be able to recoup about 2% in COG.
Right. But is it safe to assume that large part of the freight would have normalized in fourth quarter?
Yeah, to some extent, and not in January, but February and March year, it has come down quite sharply.
And even the input prices, right?
Earlier inventory holding was something which was at a higher cost. So the benefit of the reduced prices in the first quarter, that last quarter, I should be able to get only after May or June.
Good, got it. And sir, second one, actually on the US market, we have seen that there is a sharp decline sequentially. Is there any product which has seen extra competition, or is it just general price erosion which has hit us? If you could explain that.
See, I think you have must have seen, no, in the last quarter, Q3, we have already mentioned that there was a major sale of the product Oseltamivir, which was $10 million. So that is something which has gone away.
That was a product, which is a very seasonal product. It comes
right
for the season only. So if you take that out, we are at a running quarter trend, which is what in the previous two quarters which you've seen. In fact, we've improved from that. Our
right,
two quarters was around 180 crores. So this quarter we've been 200 crores in fact.
Right.
So there is a some year also, and the part of the existing run rate both put together is 200 crores now.
Sure. So Arunji mentioned $10 million related to that product, right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's it. So, during this quarter, there was hardly any revenue coming out of that.
Yeah, very small.
Right. Okay. That's it. Last one on the India market. Is it possible for you to break down your growth in terms of pricing, volume, and new introductions, if that is possible?
Yeah, we have that growth. The composition of the growth, I will share with you in a second. Let me pull up the data. So the volume growth is 8% for us.
Okay.
And the price growth is 6%. And the growth from new brand launches is 3%.
Sure. That's helpful. Thanks a lot, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Patiparampil from Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Most questions answered. Just follow up on US. Any update on this Chantix product? Has FDA come back regarding the API query?
Yeah, so we have filed all the required data information asked by the FDA. We are now given the target goal date of Q2 FY24. So if all goes well, we could expect approval and launch thereafter, maybe in Q3.
Understood. when you say you look forward to 5 launches in FY24, do you include this as one of them?
We are looking to launch 5 products, around 5 products. This is one of the 5 products we can potentially come in.
Oh, so this is one in that 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other limited competition product that could be part of that 5?
Yes, there are one or two products limited competition, but
sorry, but
slightly smaller product.
Okay. You got tentative approval for this topiramate recently. So is that a near-term launch or is it a couple of years away?
Yeah, it is further ahead. It's not in the 24.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'll turn back to you.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Savla from Multi-Act Equity Consultancy Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Akshat from Multi-Act. So I have this question on employee cost. If you could quantify the amount of regrouping that we have done in employee cost and whether the entire amount has been done in Q4 or we have done some regrouping in the earlier quarters as well.
No, the entire regrouping was done in quarter 4 and the amount is 27 crores.
Okay. So out of 224, 27 crores is the regrouping. So the balance 197 crores, just wanted to understand whether the MR addition that we've done in the exit quarter, full impact of all the MR addition would have come. So going ahead, the absolute amount of employee cost should not grow significantly.
No, there is some addition still going on. So, there will be some additional
addition, but more or less, I think most of it is baked into the Q4. What you will see is the normal incremental, yearly increment cost which will come in now.
Okay.
Next year, we've seen a significant increase in the manpower cost, which is over 20% and also. So, I think that kind of increase will not be there.
Understood, sir. And, sir, my one question was on the COGS. Now we are very confident of recouping 2% gains in COGS. We also mentioned that already in Q4 some of the raw material prices have already corrected and that would already be in the Q4 exit quarter base. So I wanted to understand what gives us confidence to get back this 2% on a full year number, which on a Q4 basis looks like a 3% improvement in raw material cost that we'll have to do. So, if you could just break this 3% up in different factors of improvement, how much will we get from, price hikes, from reduction in price erosion, and from raw material cost going down?
Two factors. One is that there was some inventory which we were carrying, which still was there, which we were depleting in the Q4. That was one part of it there. And second part of it is, if you see the branded generic composition in the Q4, it came slightly lower because of the Africa business being slightly depressed, which is a high margin business for us. So that one factor also impacted the EBITDA in the Q4. So next year onwards, once we come back on the track on the branded generic Africa again firing to the normal level, and the inventory depletion of the higher cost getting through in the Q4, both put together, we feel reasonably confident that we should be able to bounce back to the improved 2% there.
Okay. And so this 25% EBITDA that we've been discussing, that we are looking more from a exit quarter perspective or from a full year point of view?
And also it will be important to mention here, I think we have to look at a full year story for the next year. There could be variations quarter to quarter because in the export business, unlike India, where the supply chain is very tight and the transfer happens within 3 days, in export, it is a longer logistic lead time, some inventory. But we are talking of all these guidances for the whole year. So I think there could be some variation quarter to quarter.
And sir, one last question. If you could elaborate a bit on the Franco-Africa issue so that we could understand what has led to a significant decline in the branded Africa piece. Thank you, sir. That's all.
And as the export happens to France, and because of the tension that strike which has been going on for a long time, the supply chain has been disrupted there. There has been a lot of backlog of the containers being received and forwarded onward.
So that kind of choked the supply chain there a little bit, which we are seeing now is easing out now.
Thank you, sir. Very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just from US business, on the product Vimovo, if you can give updates, you know, because we were just waiting for the EIR on the Dahej plant to get the approval. So have you received approval on this product?
Which product you said?
Vimovo.
Yes, we have received the approval for that. And we are in the process of launching that product. We are advanced stage of soft service US.
So we are expecting to launch in the first quarter?
Yes, absolutely right.
And how do you see competition over in this particular product? Will it remain low cost?
It's a good product to have. I think it's going to be possibly added to the top line and bottom line.
Okay. And on Tokiramit, have you settled the litigation or we are still under the litigation?
No, we have settled the litigation now.
Settled the litigation, okay. And just last question, if you can give, you know, total number of pincodes as on FY23, how much is it in India, Asia branded and Africa branded business?
So, I think India is 2,800,
you said?
In India.
Okay.
And 1,300 in the export only.
1,300 in?
Export market.
Asia and Africa branded.
Yeah, all put together.
All put together. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for the opportunity, Ali. So this Africa issue is now, just to clarify, is it more or less sorted and we'll see recovery immediately in 1Q or would we have few more months for the Africa branded ginger?
For that, it is by and large streamlined to the maximum extent. So we don't expect that going forward in the Q1.
Yes. And secondly, on the other expenses side, like 260-270 crores, with maybe like 4-5% sort of a year-on-year increase, is that the sort of quantum which one should expect for FY24, or do we see a meaningful increase in the other expenses?
Yes, you know, this 268 was the lowest. Actually, if you see, this total for the year is about 1124. So,
but then there is this regrouping, no sir?
Yeah, so after the regrouping. So 1124 is after the regrouping. So if you really see that 1124, and then, you know, like that 1124 should really go to about, 1300 or so. So I think we should be talking about what? 320 to 325?
So what would drive this increase in our expenses?
Basically, I think sales and promotion expenses will be the major one.
200 crore almost, huh?
Yeah.
Plus, regular inflationary increases which will be there. Overall, the cost goes up every year.
Basically, like, you know, all the costs are there. No, administration cost is there. Other manufacturing cost is there. All those costs are also having an increase.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, just if you could share some outlook on the India business and how do you see volume growth panning out for next year as well as what are the kind of launches we'll be doing next year? Some color on that, please.
For the launches, we won't be able to share the sensitive data at this point. But we have a couple of good product launches lined up for the domestic, which would be first time in the country. Going back to your earlier one, we are expecting a growth of low double digits. The industry is expected to grow between 8 to 9% based on the various reports. We are yet to see how the first quarter actually really the growth is reported for the first quarter in IPM. But more or less, if it is 8 to 9%, our objective is to grow at low double-digit growth, which would still be much faster than the IPM growth rate. And the composition will again be, it will be driven by volume growth as well as the price increases. The new brand launches growth will be little lesser than the previous years.
Sure, sir, got it. And so just one more question on the margin front. So I get it, we are guiding for 25% kind of EBITDA margin for FY24. But then, how do we look at our business of now? I mean, in say next 3 to 4 years, is 30% plus kind of an EBITDA margin still, seem to be achievable on the current set of products? Or, we would settle down somewhere below that in the next 3 to 4 years?
Too further out to give the guidance, but it should keep on increasing every year with the health of the business, new product launches, brand generic composition going up. So it should inch up more than from the 25%, it should inch up, keep going up every year, we believe. Whether it reaches 30% and when it reaches 30% is to be seen. I think.
Sure, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Harsh Beria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for this opportunity. I have a question about our employee costs, and it being 24-25% of sales. Isn't it a bit too high for the kind of business model we are in? Like most of our peers in the same line of branded generic business would have somewhere around 19-20%. So my question is this because we have invested a lot upfront in the last couple of years, and with growing sales, this will come down to 19-20%, or will this stay at these levels?
One thing you should remember, one is that, as I mentioned earlier also, for the whole year, our employee cost is 21%. If you calculate, it is 21% for the whole year, FY23. It's only in Q4 that there was some reclassification and also sales was down, because of which you are seeing it as 25%. But actually for the whole year it is 21%, and we expect this to remain in that range.
Okay, that makes sense. My next question is, there was a lot of discussion on our margins, so it seems from all the commentary that this quarter has seen the lowest possible margins, and going forward, we will start seeing improvement in our margins. Is that a correct understanding?
Absolutely correct understanding. Absolutely correct.
Okay. And my last question is on our US business. So in the earlier calls, we have had discussions about capital allocation. However, US being a slightly cyclical business, now that we are going through, we have gone through a really bad down cycle, why are we not being more aggressive in pursuing growth? If you are assuming that prices have bottomed out and we have good product approval, why are you not being more aggressive? What will take us from the current $1,900 million run rate to the next level of $150 to $200 million in the US?
Just because of the nature of business, it can go up in short term. Let us say, assuming if the competitors, people pull out the product, there could be for a short period demand for the product, but then again in 2 to 3 years it becomes like a commodity kind of market. So again it could be players coming in and the price erosion happening significantly. So that is the reason we are being very cautious on making the capital allocation on the product selection. We want to be sure that the product we select and the money we spend on it has a reasonably good chance of succeeding and making money. So that's the only outlook. We are being cautiously optimistic, not very, we're still continuing with our program for filing the product for the next year and a year after. Just the numbers are reduced.
and we want to maintain, so as a percentage of our consolidated sales, what is the ideal US contribution for us?
Today it is 22%.
And we want to keep it around that, or do we want to take it up to 30% at some point?
I think it should remain in the same percentage, around maybe a percent few up and down, but it should remain the same vicinity.
Thanks for answering my questions. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. My question is regarding the margins. Till FY18, your margins would be about 30% and then be continuously coming down. Actually, a couple of reasons might be because of the sharp US price erosion and your new plants commission that was dragging the margin. I was expecting that the now utilization would be improving, margins would be improving, and the going forward also you expect normalizing the price erosion. So why we are not able to expect the 30%+ margins in next couple of years, which we have achieved already in 18?
Every year achieved it, but if you see really, you know, in 18 it was 31, but after that it was 27, 26, 28. So you know, it is in the holding in the range of 27, 28. You know, it is not beyond that, because as you rightly said, whole business was balanced. The US business came in as a bigger component compared to what it was in 2018. And naturally, all these things also have its own impact. Manufacturing facilities, like what you only said, you know, that new facilities have come, so cost has gone up. All those aspects are there. So I think 27, 28 is something which we are really always being talking about, and that's why we give you an elaborate reconciliation from 20th to 21 in this year. You know, that 7%, very clearly we gave you a very clear reconciliation how it has happened. And out of that, now we are expecting that at least in 2024, we will be able to recover about 4%. Now, balance 3%, how we will be able to recover, when we will be able to recover, we are 100% sure that we will recover. Question is, when, you know, how fast it can be. And that is something which I think we will not be able to say today. But as MD mentioned, it will be continuous improvement every year. We are going to see higher EBITDA margins year after year continuously now going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I again fail to understand that the new plant commission and the after 3-4 years, you are not able to achieve that kind of margins. Initially, definitely, it would be higher cost. And again, US, I think so, if you are expecting a single digit kind of growth, it would be coming down in an overall contribution, and definitely the price erosion are coming down again. So that could be some mismatch which I am expecting.
I hope that it should happen. You know, if you are expecting towards 28, I always think it should happen.
I think the OPEX cost of manufacturing facility is here to stay. 2% increase in the RMPM cost because of the circumstances beyond our control are here to stay. What can one do about it? What can you do about 2% freight going up? So these are the factors which are beyond our control. Earlier we were low on the OPEX because we had very light assets. We had a lot of contract manufacturing. That had limitations, and the fact that we put this facility to get better control on the quality, supply chain, scaling up our business of the future, this cost got baked in. So I have a feeling that having 30% is a wrong benchmark to put. I think we should benchmark us against the industry where we are still much better. With the 28%, 26% EBITDA also, I think we are in the top tier of the company. I think that will be the right benchmark for you to kind of calculate against us.
Got it. Thanks for the clarification. That is from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Harsh Beria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for this follow-up opportunity. My question was about the M&A opportunities we were looking for in our domestic market. Is there any development on that front, given how many acquisitions these days we are seeing in the market?
Honestly, we have not found anything so far. Though we keep on evaluating every opportunity in the market, we are looking actively for that. But honestly, there is no clear opportunity at this point of time which is there in front of us. But we are open.
And is it largely because we are more value conscious by purchasing brands or food, or doing inorganic expansion?
We are definitely. I think we are not in a hurry to just pay any price for just to acquire or to increase the bottom top line. But we are very conscious about it. We are definitely conservative. Question is, what is the right price and how we can add value? That is what we really see, and that is what will drive our M&A.
My next question was about our trade generics business. So now we are already at 40 crores plus quarterly run rate. That this would imply an annual run rate of 160 crores. Is this business line EBITDA positive for us? And how do we see this business going forward? This has been the fastest growing business in our business mix.
Yes, it is EBITDA positive. And you're right, it has been, it has grown very, very well. In fact, we have outsmarted everybody else who've been in the segment for far too long. We have done exceptionally well. In the last 3 odd years, we have ramped up the business to the scale of 150 crores odd. Going forward, I'm expecting a low double-digit growth for the trade generic business. Within this business also, our product portfolio is slightly more skewed towards the chronic nature of products, as against the industry, which is more than 90% acute or around that. We are slightly better placed than that, intentionally so. So going forward, I think the growth rate should normalize. Our objective to grow for the next year is to grow in the low double digit also, in line with the India business.
Okay, and my last question was about the capital allocation. So unless we see very high, very good ROIC capex plan, we will be returning most of the incremental free cash flows that we can take to the shareholders, like they've been doing for the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And I would like to really appreciate this viewpoint of the management. Not a lot of companies do this. And I feel this is a very, very judicious use of capital. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. In case if there are any further questions that remain unanswered today, please reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ajanta Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.